I want to welcome to the show a man who has been front and center on this, not only as a U.S. military veteran himself, but also as someone who has specifically tried to draw attention to the plight of the Assyrian Christian community. Now, this man has been, as I have always tried to honor soldiers as being, a very brave person, but still, even though he's no longer in the U.S. military, still trying to bring attention, still trying to make sure that this is not something that is lost to terrorists. His name is Lieutenant Colonel Sargas Sangari, and he joins me on the line live. Lieutenant Colonel, thank you so much, sir, for coming on the show. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Andrew. Much appreciated.
So let's talk specifically, why is this now a religious battle that Christians specifically are unifying to get involved in?
Well, it's the Christians don't see it from a religious perspective. On the ground, they see it from a actual ethnical perspective because they're part of the fabric of Iraq. A lot of people don't know that if it wasn't for the Assyrians, you wouldn't have a Iraq as it stands today. It's because of their sacrifices fighting with the British levies in World War One, that in 1922, Iraq was established. If it wasn't for them fighting again along with the Allies, the Germans would have taken over Mosul in World War II, and Russia probably would have been defeated because they wouldn't have to have an issue of as far as getting their hands on the oils that was required for them to be able to conduct their future operations. And now we go to 2003 to now, you have the Assyrian Christians who have lost basically 90% of their populace, and they have lost it because of our foreign policy. So from their perspective, it's always been about them having a footprint in a country that they have helped to establish. And for whatever reason, United States, Russia, NATO, and all the other foreign powers have decided that it would be better for them if those individuals were replaced in the region.
When we look at this, I know a lot of people have seen the horrors of these old, I mean, centuries-old holy sites that are being destroyed, decimated, desecrated. But it's not just about, you know, preserving these artifacts. It's not just about preserving architecture. This is, as you've mentioned, I think something very significant. You're preserving an entire group of people that have been so rapidly declining.
Well, that's correct. You know, if you go ahead and destroy the Statue of David, you're destroying a statue. But when you destroy a winged bull, you destroy the city of Nimrud, you destroy all the artifacts of the libraries and also the museums of Mosul, you destroy all the artifacts or steal them from Museum of Baghdad, you're destroying the history of the people who that land belongs to. The ancient Assyrians used to write their history, their sciences, their mathematics on these statues. So you're destroying more than just a statue when you destroy them. You're actually trying to eradicate an entire race of people.
What has been the U.S. government's response to this? I know one big challenge that has gone on in the last little while is bringing attention to Yazidis. I know that for all the talk about refugees, most people have been focused on Syrian Muslim refugees as opposed to Yazidis. And I have not heard any massive discussions about resettlement of Assyrian Christians.
No, actually, the only discussion that took place in with the U.N. going back to this past year, a year removed from when the Khabar River Valley was cleansed out on February 26th of this past year, the U.N. was talking about trying to resettle people out of Mosul into the Assyrian Nineveh Plain, which is a historical homeland of the Assyrians. Currently, what they have done, one majority of the Shebak, which are Shia in the region, who reside in Mosul, are not being given actual residencies or jencias, saying that they're out of Bartola, which is a Christian city and has always been in the middle of a certain Nineveh Plain. They've even moved the headquarters for the Mosul mayor, who's also a Shia Shebek, to the Bartola city limits, and now they have made it part of the federal police and brought in 2,000 of those fighters, and which, again, it goes back to the same thing. You're literally resettling people in areas that they don't belong to and giving those areas away to non-Assyrian Christians.
You served your country, I mentioned earlier, becoming a lieutenant colonel in the military there. Why are you still involving yourself in this? Why are you still as invested as you are in this conflict?
I lost a lot of friends downrange, and this will be a black mark on my country. United States has sacrificed a lot of treasure, blood, money downrange. A lot of my friends died, and frankly, I don't want this to be pointed towards the fact that United States foreign policy failures were the reason why a 7,000-year-old ethnicity was wiped out, and also the root of Christianity was destroyed, and all the Christians lost their footprint in the Middle East.
When was the last time you were over there?
I just came back. I was there from October 7th through the 27th.
And
for the Mosul clearing operations.
In what capacity were you there?
I was there as an advisor for the Australian Army. And also at the same time, from a humanitarian perspective, we decided to establish the United Australian Appeal last March in order to raise money for the multi-family so we could at least sustain them, because there was no money going specifically towards supporting their families.
But you've been there on your own doing this because you believe in it.
Well, it's not just I believe in it. It has to be done. Somebody has to do it. It would be better if somebody stepped in from the government perspective and did it. Unfortunately, a lot of our systems have been designed to reach down for the lowest hanging fruit, and we don't have a long-term strategic policy. I've been in the U.S. military for 20 years. I've fought with the U.S. Special Operational Forces. I myself was in the Special Operational Forces. And I've been there when we started Sons of Iraq program. I've seen how the whole area has transitioned, and I do see that as you go with the current perspective, you're not going to have peace in the region. And frankly, the breach point to the United States, Canada, and Western Europe is in the Middle East. It is not here.
How many, how are the Christian troops, the Christian fighters, being received by other groups that are on the ground, whether it's the Kurdish Peshmerga, whether it's official government forces that are there? I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit about that relationship.
Well, we've had the Syrian Christians who have wanted to fight. The problem was we could never get the United States to understand that they're an ethnicity and they should receive the same type of support all other ethnicities are receiving. So what happened was the Christians were pretty much divided depending on who was going to pay for them. You had individuals who the Kurds recruited. You had individuals who the Sunnis recruited. You had individuals who the Shia recruited. The reason for that is because all these different ethnicities are fighting each other, all these religious sects that are fighting each other, understand the value of the Syrian Christian, except for the Western powers, who do not see them as an enduring partner, which I think is they're cutting their own necks when they do that. So what happened recently when we were down there, the decision by the church leadership of all the churches, the what we call the Chaldean Syriac Assyrian groups, churches, political parties, and also the militias, was that we want to be on our own, because after the Mosul operations began, pretty much all the towns of the Christian Assyrians were destroyed, which means that they would have nowhere to come back to as far as bringing their displaced. Anyway, right now it would take 2 years just to get anything fixed in order to bring the displaced back. Because of that, they made the decision that we want to operate jointly. The issue becomes now whether or not the Western powers are willing to give them the direct support in order for them to be able to conduct these joint operations.
So who has been ultimately the one bearing the responsibility for training and funding of the Christian forces?
Really, they've been doing it in the world through private companies. They have done it through... some have received money from the United States because the money through foreign multi-sales goes to the backed government, unfortunately.
But it hasn't been, the money from the U.S. hasn't been from the U.S. government?
Well, no, it has been from U.S.
Okay.
government. Unfortunately, it goes directly to Hashishabi, which is a Iranian-aligned militia, which depends if they want to release that money or not. Because for the U.S., it says that for us to meet the foreign multi-sales perspective, given that we believe that Iraq is still a hole, you have to go get the money from the central government.
Okay.
So that also becomes a political issue. And then you have Kurds that give money sometimes to various different groups that they want to control themselves. But all these groups have, again, made the decision that we want to conduct joint operations, at least in what we call the Syrian Nineveh Plain, which is the heart of the homeland of all these Christian groups. And that we want to be able to have a footprint with a infusion of the Yazidi forces who have also gone through a genocide. You're looking at possibly expanding that force to 10,000. If you take Mount Sinjar Incorporated, you're talking about a 20,000-man troop, which to me does not make sense why the Western nations would not invest in a 20,000-man troop in order to be able to secure their own areas and be able to fight against this genocide.
So are there, or how many Assyrian Christians are there fighting on the front lines?
you, given where they are fighting, regardless of the organization, the units are under, you're looking at 6,000 easy. I would say functionally, you're looking at 3,600 that are very capable. You even have some of those guys that have been recruited by our U.S. Special Forces, to include Navy SEALs.
But that's a large amount. That's a large amount for any Western coalition to ignore.
Well, they are doing it, though, regardless. It might be too much for them to ignore. I think what happens is the leadership really doesn't see what's going on, and at the lowest levels, the system is failing to be able to at least tell the leadership, look, you have a capability here that you might want to look into as an enduring partner. We're looking at 100 years down the line. I'd rather have these individuals be an enduring partner to us than others who have failed us over the past 25 years.
What is it that you and your coalition, your group, and your allies here are looking for from the government? Is it about money? Is it about recognition? Is it about support in other ways? What is the goal that you're really trying to bring attention to?
The first time I sat and we sat and talked to the Office of the Secretary of Defense in the U.S. and also at the Near East Affairs Iraq and Syria desk, they said you were the first ones that came in and said we don't want money, we just need the training and support. That's all we've asked for, training and support. We'll take care of the rest ourselves, the systems have to be willing to support you. Unfortunately, decisions were made under the previous administration that may even push through the next administration, regardless of the fact that we have a new president coming in, that you have to change. These policies have to change in order for us to be able to survive as far as the Christian Assyrians are concerned.
Fascinating topic. I wish you the best of luck. Hopefully we'll be able to see some of this start to change. I'm joined on the line by Lieutenant Colonel Sargas Sangari. Sir, thank you so much for your service to your country, but also your service to the West and to freedom in general. It's greatly appreciated, sir.
Thank you, Andrew. Thank you very much.
All right. All the best to you, Lieutenant Colonel.